Greetings, saints of God, and happy upcoming Mother's Day to all. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my favorite mother and lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, sweetie, and shalom to all. Let us ask for God's blessing upon our listeners and on tonight's program.
Abba, Father, we exhort your holy name and worship you alone. We are overwhelmed at the sins of America, but will continue to lift up all our righteous leaders that are surrounded with increasing unrighteousness. May you keep our burdens light and show favor to the prayer request of your saints. Please inscribe your word on the hearts of our children and muster up the souls of our lost loved ones. We pray tonight's teaching ascends unto you a sweet aroma. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Little news?
Well, the dollar continues to fall, with many countries already trading in other forms of currency. But talks have finally begun as Biden met today with the Speaker and other Republicans in the House concerning the debt ceiling and Washington's money spending spree. But more on that next week.
And tomorrow is an important day.
Oh, it really is, because the House Oversight Committee is expected to disclose whistleblowing evidence proving that Joe Biden is guilty of influence peddling.
So, proof he can't talk himself out of?
Oh, I'm sure they'll have some scripted answer. But it's certainly no secret. Many in Washington, including some Congress members, are on the take, accepting bribes from foreign countries.
Especially China, but, you know, others too.
Oh, no wonder the first thing Biden did was to cancel the China initiative that Trump started that would dig deeper into China's espionage and downright thievery by secret agents. And that's just one of the many favors the Bidens have done for China.
And we'll address that more next week as well.
And then on Thursday, we're all bracing for an even greater invasion on our southern border. In fact, there are migrants from around the world that are flying to America's southern border to enter illegally when Title 42 expires. Biden is creating a new catch-and-release pipeline scheme to do the exact opposite of Title 42. In essence, by making it as easy as possible for illegals to enter the country illegally and embed themselves by the busloads into all American communities.
But he's sending in the National Guard.
Oh, right, to speed up the immigration, not to subdue it.
Right.
They predict it could get up to 1 million a day. And this includes Chinese nationals, many who are engineers to steal more of our technology and spy on us. China has even set up their own police stations in the United States to monitor their spies to make sure they don't defect or become a double agent, resulting in horrific consequences for them if they get caught. And don't forget, China and its backed companies already own approximately 500,000 acres of our farmland near our military installation.
Well, it's an invasion, what it is.
Yes, of all types of people, including terrorists and drug pushers, to make money to pay back the cartels. Biden's such an obvious plant of the globalist, whose plan is to erase all nationalism for this one world government. And now that he's been crowned, King Charles III plans to accelerate the Great Reset and other globalist goals. You know, honestly, if it wasn't for the scriptures, we'd be dumbfounded watching what is happening. But Daniel 12 said, the wise will understand.
And we sure do. All right, then. If you'd like to contact us, there are three ways to do that. You can send an email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message as to your question, 2-440-834-9006. And be sure to leave your name and phone number. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if you appreciate and are blessed by this program, any love offering is very much appreciated, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which also includes all the past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your added learning.
And it's still free.
Mm-hmm. Well, tonight we are in Revelation 14.
Yes, a few more, by the way, segments. As we see in verses 1 through 5, jumps ahead to the end of the tribulation to reassure John that victory is coming. Babylon will fall with great judgment to anyone who takes the mark. It finishes with the reaping of the harvest and the grapes of wrath. It corresponds to the judgments of the sheep and goats, you know, at the end of the tribulation in Matthew 25. And we'll study that when we get to Revelation 19. Anyhow, Revelation 14 begins by showing John Jerusalem after the tribulation. Verse 1.
Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion.
This is on earth.
And with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven.
Notice this voice is coming from heaven, showing us this vision is Yeshua's kingdom on earth.
Like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard a sound of harpists playing their harps. Verse 3, they sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth.
As previously noted, each group has their own song. In other words, here, the harpists were teaching the song that only the 144,000 would learn. Remember back in chapter 5, we read the bride's song, who had just been raptured. Verse 4.
These,
the 144,000,
are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins.
This means they were not idol worshippers of any goddess or false religion.
These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God.
So why are the 144,000 called the first fruits? Well, and this is very important to understand and should always be used when defending our pre-tribulation rapture.
Okay, details please.
Okay, in the Old Testament, Israel was called the first fruits unto God, as in Hosea 9 verse 10.
I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits of the fig on the fig tree in its first season.
Now jumping forward, today we are the first fruits after Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians, Romans 8, and James 1. So, for Yeshua in Revelation 14 to call the 144,000 the first fruits can only mean they are the first ones to receive salvation when we leave in that day, in that dispensation, because we are no longer here. They would not be labeled as such if we were still here. For we, you know, presently are now the first fruits to the Lord, which therefore verifies that we are indeed leaving.
Yeah, this is what a term as connecting the dots.
Yeah, and this should also always be pointed out to those Christian skeptics that think we are staying for any part of the tribulation. It's just not so. And, saints of God, that should bring you added joy.
By the way, the first fruits title is similar to the elect.
Yes. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 65:22, Israel was called the elect, and now we are the elect. But after we are gone, the tribulation saints will be the next elect.
So, the elect in Matthew 24:31 is not the bride, but rather the tribulation saints.
Correct. In a nutshell, the elect are the righteous during any particular time period. So let's continue in Revelation 14, as now we're nearing the bowl judgments after the three angels make their final proclamations. Verse 6.
Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven.
That's meaning the sky.
Having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud preach to those who voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him.
In other words, not the beast.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water.
So, why a last call to worship the true God? Because it jumps ahead to what will soon happen, and you don't want to be part of that. Verse 8.
And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the vine of the wrath of her fornication.
Now, you could say that Babylon is like a code word for ultimate evil in all aspects, cultural, spiritual, political. And the great city is probably going to be Rome. Many say it's America, but she has already fallen by this time. Even Jerusalem became like a Babylon. Remember in Revelation back in 11, verse 8 says that she's like Sodom, who worships the idol, but praise the Lord, Jesus will restore Jerusalem when he returns. So, let's continue in Revelation 14, verse 9, for a final warning.
Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.
Pretty plain language, and clarifies the existence of a forever hell. Okay, verses 12 and 13, we see the Holy Spirit, who now gives reference to the martyred saints.
Here is the patient of the saints.
Those saved during the tribulation.
These are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.
Yes.
Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.
They will be remembered in the millennial kingdom for how they persevered to their death. Verse 14 previews Revelation 19 when he returns to reap the harvest and destroy the tares, as in the parables of Matthew 13.
Verse 14, then I looked and behold a white cloud.
That denotes purity and glory.
And on the second sat one like the Son of Man.
Denotes his humanity.
Having on his head a golden crown.
This is Stephanos, a victor's crown.
And in his hand, a sharp sickle. And another angel.
I think that's number four.
came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap. For the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he,
Jesus,
who sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel,
and this is number five,
came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle.
So even the angels will help. Verse 18.
And another angel,
I think this is six,
come out from the altar.
This would likely be the brazen altar of sacrifice of God's temple in heaven.
Who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.
Another confirmation that this takes place in the fall. And let's look at Matthew's account at the end of the tribulation in chapter 24. Let's read verses 30 and 31.
Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
So both Revelation and Matthew mentions a separation and corresponds to the separation of the sheep and goats in Matthew 25. Continuing in Revelation 14, let's read verse 19.
So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city.
That's Jerusalem.
And blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs.
That's certainly deep. This depicts the great last battle over Jerusalem and her enemies. So don't confuse this last battle with the battle that takes place at Armageddon, a little distance away, shortly before this, which we will discuss in chapter 16. But basically, at Megiddo is where the kings of the East battle the Antichrist for power.
But the Antichrist wins.
Yes, and then in his pride, we'll go to Jerusalem for the battle against Christ when Jesus returns in the clouds with his angels and his army, where we are now called his wife in Revelation 19, verse 7. So John just had a by-the-way chapter to reassure him that in the end, evil will get crushed. Now we're back to about the end of the fifth year of the tribulation, chapter 15.
Which is a short chapter.
Yes, it just introduces and prepares John for chapter 16's bold judgment in the final year of the tribulation. And now it gets really ugly.
Revelation 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign.
Probably the seventh angel introducing seven more.
In heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God.
If you recall, John saw this sea of glass in chapter 4, which represents the large laver of water before entering the holy place where all had to wash in, as a symbol of washing in Yeshua, for he is the water of the Word. And if not cleansed in the water, they could not enter. Here we see the tribulation saints standing on it, representing their victory to overcome. Next, we see them singing their own song of Moses, verse 3.
They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.
So now you have seen the three songs for the three groups of saints, the bride, the 144,000, and now the tribulation saints, particularly to those martyred. And I think we should close tonight's program with the song of Moses.
I agree.
Okay, but first let's finish chapter 15 and starting in verse 5.
Okay. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen. and having their chest girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed.
All right. I'm so glad that we'll be gone for all this, but we're going to continue next week in chapter 16. But until then, let me ask you, are you the first fruits and the elect? You can be, but it's got to be your choice. Repent of your sins right now. And by repenting of sins, it's kind of like your deliverance from the evil one in your life. And then invite Jesus into your heart. Open that door, because he's knocking right now. Perhaps you're an in-name-only Christian of Matthew 7, who only has a head knowledge of him, but not a true heart conviction. No desire to be in his word. Get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy will try very hard to steal that seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He is the Messiah to anyone, and I say anyone who wants him. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It's really your call. We're going to be closing tonight with the Song of Moses. It's a beautiful song. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.